It's Comedy at the Carlson Cast with your host, Vinny Paulino. Sitting next to him is the terrible Brian Ball.
Boo!
I am the dastardly, devilishly handsome Nick Levasseur. And today we've got the delightful Ron Funches. Let's send it over to the studio with your host, Vinny Paulino.
Oh, you are dastardly and devilishly handsome, Nick.
I got downgraded to terrible.
That's not too bad.
I'd consider that an upgrade for what I say about you most of the time, to be honest.
I was mediocre last week, though.
Most weeks, really.
Win some, lose some.
Welcome to the Comedy of the Carlson Cast. I am your lovable host, Vinny Paulino. So glad to be here with you on another beautiful Friday morning in the greatest comedy club in the world.
Woo! Woo!
Comedy at the Carlson in Rochester, New York.
Yeah.
I'm loving this weekend. We got Ron Funches in town. And if you don't know who Ron is, you're just going to fall in love with the guy once you actually get to see a little bit of this interview. He's a very interesting, unique individual.
He's the most lovable talking thing since Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah, I know.
I always wanted a Teddy Ruxpin.
Did you never have one? I did. It was awesome.
How did Nick get a Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah, you're like too young for a Teddy Ruxpin. You got it from a Goodwill?
No, dude.
Last week?
I'm going to be 30 in like a week or a couple weeks. I'm just the age to have a Teddy Ruxpin.
Wait a second. You're about to be 30?
Yeah.
And you live and act the way you do?
Uh-huh.
Great.
It's called Peter Pan Syndrome.
It's a problem.
Uh-huh. Peter Pan Syndrome. Interesting.
Your Teddy Ruxpin plays MP3s probably, though. Ours was cassette tapes.
No. I had a Chumbawamba cassette in there one time. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. He's got to retrofit that thing to play trap music, and he'll be a happy boy.
Great story, Nick.
Yeah. So Ron Funches, he's great.
Yeah, he is great.
And I got to call Brian out on something. Nick, shall we make fun of Brian for a minute?
Oh, my God.
I was at the show last night.
He did go to the show last night, and he brought his lovely wife,
Lori. Yeah.
Who is the biggest Ron Funches fan on Earth.
And let me show you something. She took these pictures right here. You can show them on my computer.
Also, let's point out real quick that isn't it like your guy's anniversary?
Today is.
We're going there.
Today is, yeah.
Look at them.
Look at
Ron and Lori. So happy together.
So happy.
Yeah.
She put these up on her Facebook. Excuse me, I'm drinking too much coffee. She put these up on her Facebook, and she posted, "I cut Brian out of these."
Yeah, she did.
Which number would I love?
I was not in the prom photo, but I was in the other one.
I guarantee you there was way less smiling on Brian's half of the picture on that. But can I just say, you took your wife to the place you work on your anniversary.
Yeah.
What would you have done if you worked at a Taco Bell, you ass?
Technically, today's my anniversary, but she wanted to go. So I said, yeah, I can make that happen for you.
Okay, my question is, what are you doing for her today?
We're going to go out to dinner one of the places we went on one of our first dates, and we're going to go to the coffee shop we used to hang out all the time when we first got together. See, I'm all right. I'm killing it.
You're going to go to the coffee shop that you went? Okay. That's all right. That's pretty all right. Okay, I'm not going to give you too much grief, but I just said it's really funny.
What do you do for your anniversary, Vinny?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Cook food.
He stays upright as a gift to his wife.
Upright and offer, the way she likes it.
Yeah. So she doesn't have to take you to the
What do I do for my anniversaries? I don't know. I take her by the office. You stupid idiot.
Give her some office supplies.
Yeah, bring her by the studio.
Let her sit
on the couch. Hey, did you know Gilbert Gottfried was here once? And I let her.
She gets to pick out an action figure.
No, she doesn't. They're mine. They're mine and you don't touch.
She has to hit it with a dart, though, to make sure she gets the one she wants.
It's like a carnival game. Yeah.
It's a game of skill.
This is your one opportunity to actually get something out of this marriage. Don't mess. that's fantastic. So let's talk about some interesting things. Let's talk about our sponsors, shall we, guys?
Yes, let us.
Well, let's start with Iron Smoke Whiskey. I love the way Nick does that. It just makes me feel all good. Handcrafted in upstate New York, Applewood Smoked Whiskey, or available in Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
Yes.
Which is delicious.
It was a little vanilla ice cream. That's all you got to know. You'll have a good time with that. Iron Smoke Whiskey, wherever fine liquor is sold. Now let's flip over and see who we got here. Oh, Three Heads Brewing.
Mm. Oh, no.
Ah-na-na-na-na. I got some... Always three varieties on tap here at Comedy at the Carlson of Three Heads. We're going to be doing some interesting things with Three Heads coming up, so look for a big announcement on that. Might be a little bit of a Carlson comedy stop.
Maybe.
At a brewery. Might be a thing.
Sympatico. Or what is that word? It's not sympatico. What is it? What's the word I'm looking for?
Serpico?
That's it.
Yeah.
You are looking for an undercover
detective solve a crime.
From the 70s who was very honest. Yeah. One of the only honest cops on the force.
One of the only honest ones.
And he had the most adorable dog. All right. If you've never seen Serpico, rent that shit. Rent that shit immediately.
Not where I expected that to go.
And let's talk about Sapori, shall we, boys?
He's hurt himself.
He hurts himself every time, whether it's his voice, his hands. I don't know. I'm glad we stopped letting him have drinks back there by the board.
I'm surprised it took this long for him to injure himself on the job, to be honest with you.
It's not coffee.
He's not going to put in a worker's comp on me, is he?
I hope not.
You guys don't pay me.
Solid point. Solid point.
We are Sapori, not registered with the state of New York.
Cafe and catering.
We might get you an extra fish sandwich at Sapori.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Delicious. I went there last week. My favorite thing are the soups. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, you are a soup guy.
I am a soup guy. I dig the French onion over there. I love it all, man. I just want a big old bowl of soup today.
I've watched you slurp down many cups of French onion soup.
And for that, I apologize.
Yeah, gulp down.
For that is the only thing I will apologize to you for. Not the constant verbal beatings. Not the fact that, you know, when you're not around, I tell people not to book you on comedy shows.
Yeah, I know you do.
And
it's working well. Whatever you're doing. Yeah. Whatever you're doing, you know, your plan is working.
Well, you're going to be working next weekend.
Yeah, I am this weekend. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Jamie Lissow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good friend of mine.
And me.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And you. Yep.
You're welcome. See, I couldn't even get you bumped off of that one.
You know,
I tried.
Upside, downside.
So what about that their sponsor, huh?
Listen, we'll get there, Nick. We'll get there. I think Chef Joe appreciates that we're still all talking about Sapori while we're talking about how awful Brian is. At Sapori Rochester on Instagram. Find him on Facebook. You could order at Grubhub. And don't forget, you could go right down to the Powers Building atrium and get yourself some lunch, or at the Tennis Club of Rochester. And they cater your very own special event. So, Sapori Rochester, right, Nick?
Put it in me.
Oh, that was seductive.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way you did that. I didn't like that one. And let's do this one last but not least. One night only, Dolph Ziggler.
Woo!
The show off May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. with special guest Sarah Tiana, Comedy at the Carlson. I just heard there was a big spike in ticket sales this last week, so don't be stupid. Get yours now. It's one night only show.
Vinny might get super kicked. Fingers crossed.
I actually hope that happens.
As do I.
What a way to go.
A way to go. I would do it right on stage in the Carlson.
Yeah.
And then they'd have to name the stage after me.
Ha! They'd have to name the replacement stage after you.
All right. We're going to be back with the wonderful and adorable Mr. Ron Funches.
Yeah!
Yay!
Hey, comedy fans. We have some big shows coming to Comedy at the Carlson this spring. Check it out. One night only, April 11th, we have hypnotist Howie Jones. April 12th through 14th, we have the one and only Ron Funches. April 19th through 21st, we have Rochester's own Jamie Lissow. April 24th, one night only, we have Ray William Johnson, VIP meet and greets available. April 26th through 28th, we have Asif Manvi from The Daily Show. One night only, May 2nd, WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler will be here. May 4th and May 5th, Ben Bailey from Cash Cab will be here. May 11th and 12th, we have comedy legend Dom Irrera. May 17th through May 19th, we have multi-talented comedian, actor, writer, and producer Jamie Kennedy. For ticket or showtime information, visit carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. See you at the show.
Thanks for tuning in to Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Be sure to check us out on Facebook Live every Friday morning and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can check out the audio version on Google Play and on iTunes. And be sure to check out exclusive content on YouTube. Now let's send it back over to the studio for today's interview.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I am in studio with star of the television, stage, and the screen, Mr. Ron Funches. Hello, sir.
Hello. Oh, cool. Hi. Hi.
Hey, Ron. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Glad you can make it to Rochester. Is this your first time here?
It is. I couldn't imagine what would have brought me here beforehand.
Understood. We have colleges that'll pay for a good show every now and again. Cool. I was just wondering.
Please, yeah, bring me in. I'm not putting it down.
All right.
I like it here.
Well, good morning.
Thank you.
It's early. It's Friday morning, and we have two shows tonight.
Yeah, I haven't gone to bed yet.
No fooling, really. Rochester, the nightlife, really.
No, I thought I was gonna break up with my girlfriend, but then we didn't, so it turned into a 3-hour conversation.
No fool. That's like that's got to be the worst thing in the world, because you thought going into the call, this is going to be quick.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was like hour tops, you know, 20 minute preamble. How you doing?
Got the small talk out of the way.
How are you feeling? To set her up, to ask me how I'm feeling. And then I'm like, well.
So, long story short, you're not married, or you're not getting married now.
Well, I have no plans. I completed my marriage that I had. It was fun. and now I'm not. But yeah, she put on a lot. She played good defense. She made a lot of strong cases. Called me out on a lot of my shit, and I was like, all right. Let's keep going. I like her though; she's great.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so. Brian came to your show last night, and he was enthralled. He said he had a great time.
Standing ovation.
Yeah, the reviews I've heard so far have been fantastic. So if you're watching this, folks, you don't want to miss out the rest of the weekend. Question for you, Ron. Let's do a hard hitting interview. How old were you when you first realized that Funches rhymes with bunches? How old were you when that dawned on you?
32. It took me a bit.
You were like lunches.
You're right, right?
Crunches and munches. But man, bunches came out of nowhere. I told you I'm getting funnier recently. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting funnier.
I'm not too positive of what's going on this morning either. can I ask you this question? How were you first exposed to stand-up? Like, how did you find out that was a thing you were into?
Oh, cool. Serious. Stand-up. Stand-up. It's easier for me to just tell you kind of like my beginning with comedy. It was probably like 5 or 6, and we had like a little black and white TV that I had just for myself, and I would watch a lot of I Love Lucy and Benny Hill,
right.
And those were like my kind of introductions into comedy itself. Like, I'm a big fan of Lucille Ball and the work that she did, and formatting the 3-camera format, and just greenlit Star Trek. She did so many crazy things.
She really did, didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, she did so many crazy things.
Was it the physical aspect of what they did that appealed to you?
I liked a lot of it. I liked the physical of it. I liked the quaintness of it. I also grew up in like a rough area, and there was something really nice and quaint about this couple that was together and their two friends that came over, and it was just kind of easy for me to get behind. And I liked how they were in an interracial relationship, and just a lot of it spoke to me. Stand-up wise, a lot of it came from either watching Comic View with my mom on BET, or we would go to this place called Hollywood Video in Chicago, and we would each pick a tape, me, my sister, and my mom. And I would alternate between picking a wrestling VHS, and there's like only 5 of them.
WrestleMania 4.
I would get some. They had some ECWs in my place,
Nice.
So that was good. And a couple WCWs, and then like the AWA from the past. And then when I ran out of wrestling ones, I started getting like stand-up tapes, and so that kind of. Watching a lot of stand-up with my mom really opened the door for me for that.
So, like, when you're watching stand-up, did you ever have that, like, epiphany, aha moment, that's for me?
No.
Really?
Not at all. It took me a long time to figure out. I just knew I wanted to work in entertainment. I knew I loved comedy. I knew I loved writing. And because I did that a lot as a kid, I would write, like, plays. I'd write raps. I'd write jokes. But, like, nothing. I just have a journal of things I would write.
Interesting.
And, but I didn't think it was a real job. I felt like it was something that, like, people were like, "You're a comedian," you know, and then like,
right,
like someone, I had to be born in L.A. to be a comedian, you know, and so it never really. I just kind of floated around doing, you know, working at a cannery, working at a Lady Liberty tag sign dance, or working at Chuck E. Cheese for a couple of weeks, and then just
that's about as long as you want to work at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
I think.
Well,
yeah,
that's a good amount of time. I wanted to make it for a month, so I at least got to be in the mouse.
So are you telling me you were terminated from Chuck E. Cheese?
I was,
is that the story?
Yeah, they said I was too quiet, which I determined to mean weird.
Okay.
And I didn't make pizzas fast enough. I wasn't good at it. I didn't know, man, there's a lot of goals in the top in distribution. I didn't know. Me, I'm just like, hey, 6 pepperonis on one slice, none on another. That's just how it is. That's how you got it.
That's how this pizza is born.
Yes! Each pizza is an individual snowflake.
I'm with you.
You shouldn't judge them. That's how I felt.
And see, I feel bad that they were wasting your talent in the back. They should have had you like emceeing for that band or something.
That's what I felt. That's what I felt. Let me run the band. Let me put the mouse helmet on and scare some kids. Let me use my skills, basically.
Use my skills.
Yeah, they didn't let me do that. So I bounced around a bunch. Had my son, which kind of really was like, oh, I should get a career. So I worked at a bank for a while. I hated that. And then my son was diagnosed with autism. And it kind of really shot in my head that I was like, oh, I need to make some fucking money.
yeah, I would imagine at that point. Yeah. How old was he when they diagnosed him?
2.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that they can diagnose that early.
Oh, they can if you're moderate to severe. Yeah, for sure they can. It's noticeable at that time.
Sure.
And so I was like, oh, I don't know if he'll ever be able to, you know, live on his own independently. And so I was like, I need to make sure that not only I take care of him, that he's taken care of after I'm gone. And so I was like, either I can go back to college, which I hated. I went to community college. For
That's like a traditional days. Thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I can do stand-up, which was the one thing. There was only, because in my whole life, like, I do these jobs, and there are these, like, just horrible task, and I quit because I was like, oh, I'm better than this. And I was like,
right,
that's a horrible attitude, you know? And so I was like, you have to do a job that you're willing to start at the bottom. And comedy was the only one that I was like, I do open mics. I can.
Where were you living at that time?
In Salem, Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy in Portland.
I have to ask, though, like, when you're dealing with such a serious situation, things like that, is it tough to be funny? Like, I mean, like, just to say, okay, I have something really serious happening right now, and then I want to just completely 180 my life and go in a different direction into entertainment.
No, because, I mean, if anything, it mostly kind of freed me. And, like, I think there's a lot of things that go, like, pre-comedy where you're kind of waiting for your brain to be broken in a few ways. You need like a few different traumas to finally be like, oh, you know what? No, I'm not going to be a regular person.
Right.
I'm not going to get a regular job. And for me, I had a lot of fear. So it kind of took and not that I wish that at all, but it's just like my son having autism was just like this big wake up. I was like, oh, he's different. I'm different. It's okay for him to be different. I'm going to have to defend his differences with my life. And if I'm going to be able to defend that he's different and he's okay and anything that he does is fine, I need to be able to say that about myself and be like, oh, this is who I am. I'm a comedian. I want to tell jokes. And so it's like, I got to do that. And it's just, you know, any life with everyone can, you know, compartmentalize and, you know, you're going through a divorce or going through whatever, a lot of times that's when you have the biggest belly laughs, right? Because you're
right.
Yeah.
You feel everything. So I don't think it makes it harder. If anything, it makes it easier.
Interesting.
Because everything's more funny.
because it has to be.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. That's a solid point. It's a solid point. Maybe looking at it in a different lens than a lot of people would when you're in a situation like that. So I guess you said you were willing to start at the bottom with stand-up. You're doing pretty damn well now, I would say.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would say, though, that, like, it's kind of rarefied air that, you know, you could just decide I'm getting into comedy and actually do as well as you did. Not everybody does and goes as far. When was the first time you actually stepped on stage? Like, how did that work for you?
It was, like, October. I don't remember what year it was, but my son was 2 or 3. I was 23. So he was 3. And I did an open mic at Helium in Portland.
That was Harvey's.
Helium did not exist. Yeah, at Harvey's, this horrible club.
So, open mic and a hell gig, okay.
Yeah, open mic and a hell gig. I was working my little bank job at the time. I had done this, like, and I was horrible at it. You're supposed to take, like, 100 calls a day. I take, like, 25, 30 calls a day. But all my calls, I'd get, like, they'd survey you. And so I'd get all these, like, great survey numbers because I was good at talking to people.
Right.
And part of my deal was, like, oh, if I can talk to one nice person for, like, 20 minutes, then I don't have to talk to 5 assholes, you know?
Yeah.
So I just keep talking to them, find out about their day. I'd go back and give them money that they didn't know that they, you know, had been overdrafted. I'd just give them little surprises. That was
so you went for quality, not quantity.
Yeah, that's what I was about. Yeah. And then they let me make these, like, little video to kind of help other people in the, because it was, like, a stressful job, high turnover. And so they were like, make a little funny video helping. They didn't say funny. They just said make something. And I was like, I'm going to make a funny video. And it was just, like, the most corporate-y bullshit jokes that I could think of, but they played it in front of, like, the whole, like, campus or whatever you would call it. And when people started laughing at my jokes, I got that rush.
Is that where the rush came from? Was it
the first time I got it? And I was like, oh, you guys like that? I don't even think that's funny. What if I was doing jokes that I actually cared about that wasn't about a fucking bank? And then I was like, oh, I should do this. And then they were like, you should go back now, because when they let me make the video, they pulled me off the phones and let me just work on this video for a week. And then they were like, all right, go back to the phones. And I was like, fuck you,
I'm a star. Yeah. Did you hear the pops I got?
Yeah. No. So I started looking up open mics. I looked it up through, I had to look up the Mustard Mask. That was this guy in Portland who's known because he went on the Tonight Show.
Wait, originally it was Mark and Brian's radio show.
You want to jump on the couch so people could hear you because you have no microphone.
Yeah.
It was the Mark and Brian radio show. He drank a bottle of mustard and he got the name The Mustard Man, but then he ended up doing, like, the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Steve Harvey's big challenge. So, I mean, he got some.
Bob and Tom, the power of that show never ceases to amaze me.
I know.
Drink a bottle of mustard on radio nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do
we just have to take their word for it.
Right. Yeah. They're, wow.
Probably the DJ's, like, grossed out response, like, oh my God. You know, I think it's more on the DJ than the drinker to convince the audience that he's drinking the mustard.
It turns out that Nick has been trying to do this for years. He just didn't know to do it on an actual radio show. He does it on our show and it gets him nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, and later, Mustard Man told me that, you know, because of all of the vinegar in mustard, you could actually poison yourself by doing it.
He looked like he had jaundice. He was just, like, yellowed out.
No, and you'd get sick every time after doing it. It would make him, like, physically, he would throw up every time he did it.
Yeah, but he had no material, so.
Isn't that just... Isn't that just...
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
The greatest symbol of how addicting fame is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just like, oh, I can't let him forget me.
Got that buzz. Where,
where's the mustard?
My medical bills are getting outrageous, but people still know who I am.
I wonder if Grey Poupon will be as harsh on my belly.
That's a little too expensive. You gotta have a spoon for grape.
You gotta stay with the common man. You don't wanna, you know, you're charging $40 a ticket.
Maybe if I was doing theaters or something.
I just picture the people in the audience. Honey, he's gonna do the mustard thing now. Mustard.
Yeah, he tried to do mayonnaise and he really jumped a shark.
when he auditioned for Network, they were like, could you go honey mustard? And he's like, nah.
No, I'm about that purity.
That's too sweet.
You're not going to dilute me.
Right on. I think we should. I feel like we should introduce your opener this weekend, who's traveling.
Who cares about this guy?
Come on, Ron. Give him a good promo. Pretend you're MCing.
Ooh, I love to do good promos. This is great. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, please allow me to introduce to you a good friend of mine and known for 10 years out of Portland, Oregon. He currently lives on a sofa.
It's an inflatable mattress.
Inflatable mattress. I was trying to make him feel better. mattress in Sherman Oaks, California. You might have seen him on Fuse TV if you were looking at one time, because they never replayed it. You might have seen him in a Big Freedom music video where he showed his bare ass. You might have seen him just really just hanging out and doing shows with me. That's about all he's got going. Several commercial auditions.
He's your Brian
Ball. Dinger.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Four more shows here this week at Comedy Carlson.
A really funny comedian.
If you are casting for any commercials, you might want to come down.
Yeah. If you need to sell something, I'll try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he won't do it.
Clearly I don't do it, but I'll try.
What is this about you training to be a pro wrestler, Ron?
Yeah, what about it?
I want to know about it. Like how, like that. I mean, you seem like a guy who's like, oh, I like this. I'm going to go do it. Is that mm-hmm. that what's going
that's
on here?
That's me. Yeah, that's me. I set my mind to something and I pretty much usually do it. Unless I quit because I don't like it anymore.
Sure.
But yeah, I started wrestling at this place, Centino Brothers Wrestling Academy, which is down in Bell Gardens in California. I'm trained by this gentleman. His goes by Tyler Bateman, and also Brody King, some guys down in L.A. And I was taking classes three nights a week, but then I got too busy, so now I do like a one-on-one class like every Monday.
Interesting.
Just doing a lot of rolling, a lot of squats, a lot of push-ups. Learned how to do a neck push-up. Did you know you could push up your neck?
I did not know that.
You can.
I can't even do a regular push-up.
Your neck is the weakest part.
How do you do a neck push-up?
You have someone hold your neck, and you got to go, like, push against it. But you got to watch how they sit, or it looks like you give them a blowjob.
Right.
No cameras
around for that training. No. So you decided one day, you're like, you know, I'm going to do this. Is it a goal to actually work as a wrestler, or are you just doing it because you wanted
to do
it?
I'd like to do one match at least. I think that would be great. That's kind of my goal, my biggest goal right now is just to have one match. Basically, I've been a fan of three things my whole life: video games, wrestling, and comedy.
It's like we genetically engineered a friend, Brian.
I know it is. That's what I was saying. It's like we made him in a lab.
Like, I don't think I could find a person I like more than Ron Funches. Like, honestly, I really can't, because like I could just talk to you about all of those things for forever.
You know, Bullet Club's hiring for September.
Oh, I'm trying. Oh, I don't think I'm not trying.
Yeah. I would love to see you in all.
We'll see what happens.
So, I mean, one of the biggest parts about wrestling, obviously, is a persona and those things. So have you decided, like, if you do have a match, you know, what you're going to do? Are you going to go by your name? Are you going to have a ring name?
I haven't put too much thought into it, but...
You can't tell me that. You're a creative guy. You can't tell me you haven't thought.
If you could think of something right now...
Off the top of my head?
Off the top of your head.
I mean, I'd probably go by, like, Ron the Reckless Negro Funches, and my whole thing would be, like, I wear, like, cut-off jean shirts and no shirt, and then I'm, like, I steal pies off windowsills because I live on the Oregon coast, and my whole, like, slogan is, like, hide your weed and white women, there's a reckless Negro coming!
Like, you know, would it be like Hurricane Helms? He was like, stand back!
Yeah. then like there's just a puff of smoke, and then I come through, and I'm like, ah, yeah.
Slice of pie in your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get it. It's a little old timey. He's like, he could be fan favorite or a heel. You could go both ways with that.
I honestly see face for that. I see you as a face.
Yeah. I totally feel like face, but then boom, hit somebody in the face with that pie, boom, heel turn.
It's until
done.
Yeah.
Until you super kick Gabe through a glass window.
Yeah, up through that barbershop window. Yeah. You laughing, but you don't even get that reference.
I know.
Fucking liar.
You did wrestle Conan.
I did wrestle Conan O'Brien. I put him in a headlock. Taught him a couple moves. But that's been it. Other than that, it's been me getting beat up a lot in class.
I find it amazing that you are... when you decided these are the things in my life that I like, that you really legitimately pursued them instead of just saying I enjoy these things.
Well, it's, I mean, a lot of it was that, and a lot of, again, things just happened. Like I had a friend who kind of was one of my biggest supporters when I didn't have anything, like at my very worst, where I was getting divorced and separated from my wife, and I didn't have a place to live. My legitimate options at that time were to go move to Chicago with my mom, who was like, if you move here, you're only doing stand up on like the weekends, and you gotta get a real job. And he was like, hey, you can stay in my mom's basement with me
and do whatever the hell you want,
these gigs in Milton, Washington. And I was like, that sounds better.
The big city.
Yeah. So we just drove around for months getting better at comedy, for years, actually. Just getting better and better and better, just doing these podunk gigs in Oregon and Washington. And he had a brain tumor and unfortunately passed away due to complications from getting it removed. And he died, you know, pretty young. And that was when I was like, oh, shit, I could die. I should probably do the things that I want to try, you know. I don't plan to make it, but I was like, oh, if I never at least try and go get in a ring and bump and run against the rope, then I'll never know what it feels like. And I wanted
to know.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Tell me one thing. How much does it hurt to hit the ropes when you first do it?
It burns. It doesn't hurt while you're doing it because you're really, like, excited.
Right.
And you're, like, and you're so springy, and you're like, oh, this is fun. But also the mat is springy, so then you're like, this is like walking in running in sand, kind of.
Yeah.
Where you're like really having to watch your feet count, and you have to turn into it when you hit the ropes and pull yourself into the ropes, and so you bounce off of them. It blows you up pretty hard, and then you go home and you have all these marks on your back and stuff. And it's pretty awesome. I like it.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Wrestling.
Oh, I've never been.
I love
sore.
The marks they leave me.
So I've been sore when I've woken up in the morning before, but I've never been so sore that that's what woke me up.
I just turned
the wrong way, and I was like, I'm up.
Where's your home club?
My home club currently is Comedy Store.
Comedy Store?
Yeah. I mean, I go to the Improv a lot, too. But I'd probably say the Comedy Store, I like it. I don't necessarily excel there, but it's a fun place to just... is all about comedy. You go there, you see the best, you have to follow the best, you have to deal with so many different styles. That's my favorite compared to some of the other clubs where they try to focus on one style or be more alternative or be more mainstream or be more black or whatever. And the Comedy Store, I could be like, oh, here's a lineup with Mark Maron and Bobby Lee and Neil Brennan and Whitney Cummings and Moshe Kasher and me and Brent Morin and Theo Vaughn, and it's like all these different stuff.
I'd buy a
Dave
ticket.
Chappelle just dropped in, you know, and now none of us get to go up. And so like nights like that where you're just like, oh, there's so many different styles. I can't even worry about what other people are doing. I have to just do me,
right?
Because that's what's going to work, because I mean, fucking Mark is going to come up and show better stories than me, and Whitney's going to come up and tell better jokes about women and or whatever. that sounded kind of sad. But her jokes, her Me Too jokes have been fucking amazing.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, I just have to focus on me and what I like, and it's weird that it's, like, I'm going up to the Comedy Store, this place where, you know, hump stools and fucking bitches, right? And I go up there and I'm like, oh, talking about vision boards and
which is a great bit, by the way. Oh,
yeah. Four more shows this weekend. True. Come learn about vision boards with Ron Funches.
Yeah, it's a real true bit.
You know, there's actually a little bit of a pearl of wisdom in there, which you just talked about, for anybody who is, you know, does perform. We have a lot of comics who watch this show. Don't be intimidated by what other people are doing. Just a real simple little piece of wisdom right there, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most simple things that I learned first out when I was doing mics, and we had all these great open mic guys that were there from Portland that were really, really great, and I was just like, oh, there's going to be people who can tell better stories. There's going to be people who can write better jokes. There's going to be people who can act out better than I can. But there's not going to be anyone that can out me. So if I focus on what makes me unique, then I'm golden, because no one can steal that.
And that's one of, you are the best of being you.
Thank you.
You are the best of being you.
I've been really trying. I'm trying to get better at it. I'm not 100% me yet, and I'm really working on it. But now I'm just really been inspired by watching that Gary Shandling documentary.
Yeah.
So that was great, wasn't it?
Okay, I got to ask you this. Like, how much of you, your stage, do you have a stage persona? Do you feel like you're turning yourself up?
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. It, really. You know, I'm just me at a 10 or 11. But lately I've been trying to get my life more to match that, where I'm just taking charge and not afraid of consequences. And that's been my main, that was on my vision board for this year, was to take charge.
To laugh at consequences.
And to be myself even when I was uncomfortable, which a lot of times is like at like clubs where I might not feel like they want to hear my style, or you know, traveling to certain areas where you're like, oh, okay, maybe they don't want me here in Greensboro or whatever.
Well, and that's, I mean, because I've traveled with Ron quite a bit, and especially early on, you know, not anymore, but early on, he'd be like, hey, if they don't like me, like, maybe you just close out the show. And it's like, what are you talking about? They're gonna like you. That's crazy. But, you know, you go to these small towns and you just don't know. But, and then over the years, you know, as we continue to do it, and he, you know, kills wherever he goes, like, now... Yeah, Brian hasn't said that in about a year or so.
Yeah.
Maybe in Utah.
Go warm up. Let's go warm up the car.
I did say in Utah. You were killing in Utah. They loved you.
Utah, I'm just dangerous enough for Utah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You look like about 78% of the population of Utah. I just want you to know that. It's a smile, I think. It's just that you're smiling so much.
And in Utah, I'm like the Fonz. I'm like the dangerous guy. They're like, ooh.
Yeah, your sleeves are rolled up. Yeah.
I bet you could get away with any crime in Utah. Like, they can't describe you accurately in a police lineup to make you stick out from anybody
Utah,
else.
They want them some dinger.
But not until they marry him. You know, like, I honestly feel like, you know, if you're coming into town like that, like, after you leave, the town is like, no more rolled up sleeves. We don't want any more of that in this town.
Like, we tried it
exactly.
Once. So you're like, Elvis, bend your hips.
He exposed his elbow.
We only allow shirts that cover your cat or your... I've got nothing.
Yeah, nice try. Nice try.
You tried the joke.
Yeah,
I'm the worst.
It didn't work out well for you, did it?
Nope.
Conversation mistake.
But you were being... and you were being yourself, so that's...
I'm just not the best me I could be today.
Oh, you got my favorite Nerf gun, though. I like that one.
Would you like to use it to shoot Brian?
No. I got, like, 6 at the house.
Okay.
Sometimes we put on like masks and bandanas, and we play hardcore rap music and we break out the Nerf guns.
I keep one in my office. If one of my kids walks in without knocking the door, they get Nerf gunned.
I love the one because it's the ball instead of the
arrow. This one's fun.
Yeah, you really.
I actually I named this one.
Weird.
I named it the Law. I just wrote it on these parts.
Did you ever play
with the automatic one of those?
You know, I was going to buy one and I didn't. And then I was going to buy one and I didn't.
A lot of D batteries, man.
A lot. And it's D batteries, too. That's the only thing they make them for is like Nerf guns and flashlights.
You can only get them at like the dollar store.
Yeah. I remember really trying to buy a bunch of Super Soakers for the summer, but they're not. Super Soaker as a brand isn't strong anymore. Did you know
that? Well, yeah, because like how super can their soakers get? And they started with like the 50, which was like that line. Remember the 50? Super Soaker 50? It was like lime green and green.
Yeah.
And that was like the shit. Mm-hmm. And then they just kept trying to innovate until they finally went into the ground.
You know, the strongest one ever was the 30, the little handgun.
Yeah, like, and you
as
just
far
took
as pressure, that thing hurt the little guy. I mean,
that's how the Nerf guns are too. A lot of the little ones are the ones that really sting.
Yeah, the small one of that is really nice.
Towards the end with Super Soaker, though, what they did is they just gave you a wrench to just undo a fire hydrant and just plug a hose into it.
A neon green wrench.
And I think kids now, like, I don't think guns are as much of a, like, that's why I think Nerf is going towards a like more adult audience, because, you know, kids, I don't think get gun.
It's the Nerf crossbow. Hunt down your prey.
Ron, before he got his house, he was buying all those Nerf guns, and he's like, I gotta get a house now. I got all these Nerf guns.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I did the same thing
with my guns.
I feel that as my living space has increased, so has my quantity of Nerf guns.
Yeah.
Do you have the arsenal? I gotta have something to protect.
But do you have a Nerf gun cabinet?
No, not yet. They're still in the box.
Yeah, he had a box of Nerf guns.
You need a lot of water for that.
Yeah. It took like, it took two boxes.
Yeah, he had like boxes that said like, well, it was a large box with two boxes inside, but it was like Nerf guns, Nerf ammo, toys. Giant child moving.
That was one
into
of my favorite
house.
Things about moving, seeing boxes that said like Nerf guns, weed stuff.
Evidence.
That's hysterical. So, movies. Doing some movies. I think that's incredible. You're doing a lot of voiceover work.
I do a lot of voiceover work lately.
That's incredible.
I love it.
I would love it too. I would absolutely love it. When they first call you for that, was that something you ever like thought of getting into, or did they just go, hey, that guy's got the perfect voice?
Interested in it because mostly because people would always make fun of my voice when I was younger, and still sometimes today. But I was like, I knew it was a unique thing, so I was like, oh, I think I'd be good at some type of cartoon. I had the joke where I was like, I make fun of somebody's voice. I was like, oh, I shouldn't do that. I know I sound like a Disney bear that teaches about responsibility. And so I was always like, I knew I'd love it, and fortunately, I've been able to do more and more of it. And Trolls, in particular, has fucking been like
that was
best
a big movie
in my life.
That was
my
a big movie.
Consistent job I've had. I've been working on Trolls for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, they keep just adding more stuff to it.
Yeah.
How many have they done so far?
They did the movie, and then they did a holiday special, and then we're working on a third season of the Netflix show, and then we have the sequel coming out. So it's keeping me busy and paid. And
like, I looked on your IMDb, and it's like a third Trolls. Like, there's a lot of Trolls on there.
A lot of Trolls.
Did you ever own a Troll doll?
Yeah, I have a few Cooper dolls that people have given me. You mean in the past?
Did you ever go, these are neat?
The little naked ones.
Yeah, I mean, more of my sister did, you know?
Yeah, shoot them with the Nerf guns.
I was all about my, you know, turtles and wrestling figures and little Hasbro boppers.
I love Ron Funches.
Where I was...
I've uttered that sentence so many times. I was more interested in my Ninja Turtles. So I was...
Where I first discovered you, I guess, was on At Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
You were the king of that thing.
Thank you so much. I agree with that.
you were invincible on that show.
Thank you. I have a great winning percentage.
You're like, you only lost like once, right?
No, I've lost several times.
Oh, did you?
But my winning percentage was around like 80%.
Yeah.
So that was great.
First round draft pick all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. First round Hall of Fame.
and you have a belt? You have a belt.
I have a belt. Yeah, it's in my, hanging in my office. Yeah, I used to bring it out sometimes to the show, but then every time I did, I lost. So I was like, let's hang it up.
Yeah. It was a cursed belt.
Yeah, I feel like it was. I feel like it made me.
You become a marked man when you're carrying the belt.
Yeah, people wanted to get it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Whoever wins is like, so do I get the belt? And you're like,
no.
No.
Yeah, I would hand it to them.
I got a thing for it in my office.
Yeah. When it would hear cut, and I was like, hey, I paid $500 for that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you had it made, right?
Yeah.
That's great. That's exactly what I'd have done.
But they had the wrestling bed made for you.
Yeah.
And that was pretty dope.
I must have missed
that. That's a pretty hill move, though, to like go like, I'm the champ, so I'm going to make myself a belt.
You came out, it was like they had that big special the
it
first one you brought
it
out
move.
On, right? Yeah. Yeah, he did. He's got
it
one
is
he
a
had,
bit of
man.
A heel move.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's all I'm going to say. Just a heel move.
I wasn't even trying to reference that. I forgot that you'd done that.
Oh, well. You win awards, people got to know.
Yes.
You win, people got to know. That's all I'm going to say about that.
How they going to know if you don't let them know?
Solid point. So congratulations, by the way. I hear you have a new special that you're about to film.
Yes, sir. We're doing our special for Comedy Central in June. Gabe will be opening June up for 18. Me. Make sure that the joke I do about him later hits hard.
And, it hits even when I'm not on the show.
It does. It does. But it hits way harder when you're there. Because people go, I just talked to that guy.
I'll bet he really was there.
And so I think they're saying it's going to come out early 2019. We'll see if I can get them to push it up quicker.
Well, congratulations. So are the good folks of Rochester going to get a little bit of a sneak peek of some of this
stuff? Yeah. I mean, most of the things I'm working on is a little bit of me trying to figure out what I'm going to cut and what I'm going to keep. And so I'll try certain things on one show and then try others on the second show. And it's coming together. I mean, we got this, the standing ovation last show. And
there were some good strong bones you're building on there, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly there. You know, it was pretty loose last night. But, like, when I have a pretty good idea what we're going to do.
So. Awesome. Well, I have one more question for you, and we're going to let you get out of here.
Okay.
We ask every person that comes through here one question because we do, like I said, we have a lot of comics that watch us, and we try to give them some good constructive advice. If you were someone who is contemplating stepping on stage for the first time,
just starting, never did it before.
Never done it before, what advice would you give to that person, or what would you go back and tell yourself if you could?
I mean, I would tell myself, you nailed it. You really
all right, good answer. Thanks for coming in.
But I mean, I would tell anybody that's starting. When I was really poor and broke, I had a stand-up like class that I did, and I would and it was at a time where stand-up classes were a big hot button issue.
You were teaching one?
Yeah, I was teaching one in Salem, Oregon. But I would always tell them the exact truth. I'd be like, look, I'm really just doing this because I want people to talk about comedy with, and we can go to mics and we can work on shit together. I can't make you funny. Mm-hmm. I can teach you how to be respectful and make sure you know about mics, and I would teach them about, you know, moving the mic stand and things like that. So I mean, I guess that would be what I would want people to know. Move the mic stand, move it behind you so you're not blocking yourself. Be respectful of the other comedians that you are there. Make sure that you stay and at least watch a few other people so that you're part of the community. If you bring friends, definitely make sure they stay and watch.
Yeah.
Definitely don't have them come in and then leave when you're done. Actually, just don't bring your fucking friends. That's one of the weakest fucking moves you can make, is because you're saying that you can't be funny unless you have these people around you. You have to go in there and be willing to just eat shit and let know that you're going to get better. Because it's like any job. Anytime you start a job, you're not going to be your greatest at it. So you might as well just get it out of the way, eat a bunch of shit while nobody fucking watching, then invite your friends out when you're actually kind of good. Mm-hmm. So then you can actually get them to come back out and pay money for shit. Because if you get them going like the first month you're doing comedy, they'll never want to come see fucking stand up again.
They'd be done forever.
And not just you.
They're canceling their cable.
General. Yeah, you can scar them.
It sours them. Yeah.
Bad comedy really does mess people up, doesn't it?
Well, and especially watching people trying to figure it, you know, if someone watching comedy who's not interested in doing it themselves, like, no one wants to see the hot dogs being made. Mm-hmm. You know, they want it roasted. They want it on the bun, you know. They don't need to see it going into the casing.
I don't know. It just works up my appetite.
Vinny takes them any way you can get them.
And then all my main advice would probably be like, even if you like, you know, normally drink, smoke pot or whatever. I love smoking pot, but the first month that I did comedy, I told myself that I had to be completely sober because I needed to make sure that I could get laughs without any type of crutch.
Right.
And I feel like that was very helpful for me. And then afterwards, I would just get stoned all the time. But at least I knew that if I wasn't stoned, I was fine.
Right.
I could still be nervous.
Good stuff.
Feel those feelings.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck. I hope you get your match.
Thank you.
I really do.
I will buy whatever pay-per-view that is on.
Yes, I will as well. Nice to meet you, Gabe. Thanks for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for letting me come in.
Folks, you get your tickets by visiting carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. We're going to be back next week with Jamie Lissau, so we hope to see you then. Ron Funches, Gabe, thanks again. And Nick, let's get out of here, buddy.
Let's see.